live my life dealing with women. I guess sinning and just thinking that I could just sin because guess what? The word says we all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. So I use that as an excuse to do what it is that I wanted to do with my life, which landed me to live in a religious way. My way of living was to wake up in the morning, get myself ready for work, and before I left out of my house, I had to have at least $5 in my pocket so that if someone tries to rob me, they could take something. Because if I didn't have anything to give them, it was going to shoot me dead. That was my religion. That's what I did religiously every day. Living a life of brokenness, depression, identity crisis. I didn't know myself throughout my teen years. At that point, I was 20. I was 20 years old, working up to 21. Within the 21st, when I turned 21 in September, it was one day I woke up and I told God what I was going to do for him. I said, this is what I'm going to do. No matter what, I'm going to love on anybody, everybody. I don't care how they treat me. If they come at me nasty, that's cool. I'm going to still love just for you. I'm going to do that. So I started off my day talking to my mom, having a conversation. The conversation turned into a debate. The debate turned into an argument. And the argument turned into my mom taking a broomstick and breaking it on my back. So that didn't go good. That didn't go well. So I'm on my way to my job. I worked at Zelma Watson George Roller Skating Facility. If anybody knows me, skating is my thing, and I'm a bad mamma jamma. That's what I do, all right? This is my place. This is like home to me. Not only that, people love me there. My job, my employers, they love me. My employees, my colleagues, they love me. The kids, they love me. The parents, they love me because the kids love me. So it was just, it was awesome. That day was the worst day ever. I'm talking about the kids was not feeling me. I was trying to do jokes, tricks, and everything. They was like, get out of my face. You know, and it was just awful. And then the parents, they were breathing down my neck. It was crazy. Then leaked on to my colleagues, my people that I worked with. They was irking me. Then my employer. I don't know what's wrong with you, Mike, but you need to take a chill pill. And I'm like, I'm not the one tripping. The only thing that was good about that day, that work day, was the check. I got paid that day. Left at around like 9:30. Cashed my check. On my way home, catching a bus, walking down the street to get to my house, guess what happened? Got robbed for the check, for my phone. I remember at that time being just a tad bit scared. But just thinking the last thing that I would see on God's green earth was a curb on the street. Not my mother, not my brothers, but a curb on the side of the street. Because I was in push-up position looking at the curb while they was holding the gun at my head. Oblivious to the fact that there was grace on my life, I walked away from that situation. Went home, got home, went to my room, straight to my room, didn't let nobody know what happened, and I cussed God out. I let him have it. I let him have it. Start bringing up past times where I was getting robbed and everything, and just bringing up scriptures, all the scriptures that I liked. You said that you would never leave me nor forsake me. You left me out there. You let some booger wolf just rob me. I'm broke now, you know. And bringing up all of this stuff, throwing scripture at him, saying that was his fault. I fell asleep on the carpet with my face planted inside the carpet with my butt tooted up in the air. This is how I looked. No lie. And when I went to sleep, I had the best nightmare I've ever had in my life. I had a nightmare that I was in hell. The sky was red and the ground was arid and dry. And there was a group of people crying out for the Lord. And at that moment, I realized what made hell bad. What made hell bad was the disconnection from a Lord and Savior that loved me so much. The fact that I can cry, I try to cry out to him, and he can't even hear me. He can't hear me because his presence is gone. And in the midst of that, the voice of the Lord streaked in hell. I'm like, this is a miracle. He said, how you gonna praise me with that filthy mouth of yours? And he told me to deny myself. And I woke up realizing that through my mouth, after cracking open the Bible, Matthew 15 talks about it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles a man, it's what comes out. It confirmed God speaking to me in my dream. And it showed that through the mouth, what was going on with my heart. And at that moment, I realized that at first I thought me and him was cool. I was doing things for him and everything. I thought me and him was tight. Turns out I was the enemy of the cross that he died on. I was his enemy. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you realized, like this whole time, this whole span of your life, you was his enemy and you didn't even know it? You were doing all of this stuff, operating as an enemy of him. And you thinking that you love him. And he had to humble you. How many of y'all had that moment? Okay. So we're gonna go back to these questions. The first question was, who was the guilty one? All of them. All of them. John 8 verse 9, King James Version. It says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, it says that they were convicted by their own conscience. Convicted. They were judged guilty. They judged guilty themselves. They looked upon themselves and was like, I'm guilty. And in their scheme, trying to, you know what I'm saying, get Jesus tripped up, saying that, oh, she's guilty. And what he said, let any man that's without sin throw the first rock at her. And in that instant, they looked at their own hearts. They looked at their own lives and thought, I'm guilty. That whole time they were guilty, they didn't even know it. Right? Go back to the picture of my Lord and Savior and the lady, if you can. The next question, who was grace and mercy offered to? All all of them. But who is there to enjoy the fullness of grace and mercy? The woman. Check the scenario. You got Jesus? He got some ashy. But you got Jesus. You got the woman caught in adultery. You got the Pharisees and Sadducees, right? Three sets, three groups in the same scene. He said, he who is without sin, let him throw the first stone. Who in this equation is without sin? Jesus, right? Who's guilty? All of them. So by right, Jesus could have picked up the rocks and hit everybody there and stoned them to death because they were guilty. But grace and mercy. But what happened? They walked away. She's here humbled. Enjoying, basking in the fullness of God's grace and mercy. Who had a chance to be forgiven? All of them. Look at them. They're walking away. They had a chance. They had a chance. They're walking away. Who had a chance to be freed? All of them. They had a chance. They had a chance. But look at the Pharisees, Sadducees. They're walking away. Who's there to receive? The woman. Okay, so with being free, there was a saying that Harriet Tubman said. She said, I freed 1,000 slaves. I would have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves. They probably didn't even think that they were even slaves or bound to anything. That's crazy. So, okay. If all of them was the guilty one, if all of them had grace and mercy offered to them, if all of them had the chance to be forgiven, if all of them had a chance to be freed, what's keeping them from being like her? Say pride. I mean, they were religious rulers. Walking in ego. These guys were religious rulers. They had it going on. They were the example. Draped up, dripped out. Know what I'm talking about? They had it going on. And here goes Jesus in the form of a servant. What I look like? His ankle's dirty. I can't rock with that. What about anger? They came on the scene. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to get their rocks off. They walked away because they was mad because they couldn't get their rocks off. Anger. Just looking at this whole thing and reading this passage, and being here with my brothers and sisters, I can't assume that since I'm in a church. Oh, hey, Tamika. But I can't assume that because I'm in church and I'm with family, that all of y'all know the Lord. I can't just assume that. Ask yourself the question. I know I remember being this woman. I remember this moment. November 2006, I decided to swallow my pride because I've never heard a tale of anybody choking to death on it. You know where pride got me? Pride had me sleeping on an RTA bus bench for 9 months. With no cover, pride didn't keep me warm. It kept me in harm's way. So I had to kill that noise. Me being angry at God, throwing scripture at him, trying to get my rocks off. You messed up. You did wrong. You were supposed to protect me. You were supposed to love me. You were supposed to be there for me. All for him to show me my position and who I was. Show me the fact that I don't even deserve anything he has to offer me. I don't deserve his love. I don't deserve his grace. I deserve his wrath. And at that moment, he started to show me that even though I was dirty, I was guilty, I was filthy, I was worthy of a stoning, he loved me. He loved me. Jesus was a gift. He was a gift of eternal life for all of us. And in order for us to receive this gift, we got to be this woman. We got to realize that we're broken. That we're guilty. There's no work. There's nothing that she can do. Nothing. She's caught red-handed. She's in front of the judge. She's guilty. Ain't nothing you can do but wait on a sentence. And it's worthy of death. But because she was humble, she was stuck in this state. And embraced it. What can I do? Jesus met her where she was. That's the gift. Forgave her. Cleaned her record. And set her free. It's awesome. That's the gospel. He came here for sinners like you and me. Knowing the fact that we couldn't do anything right. We hated him. We turned our backs on him to do our thing. To live life the way we want to live. And he's seen that we were in trouble. And there was nothing that we could do And it took perfection to get to reach perfection, to get us back to a holy God that loves us. And he sent his son, perfect. Perfect. To take that cross, to take our shame, and give us a chance. Give us eternal life through him. My question is, because I don't know everybody's situation, but are you still in this state of where grace and mercy, forgiveness, salvation, freedom is on the table for you, but you walk away from it? The chance of a lifetime, and you walk away from it. If so, what is it that's keeping you away from him? What is keeping you away from his goodness? Are you angry? Are you blaming God for a lost loved one? Why did you take my father away from me? My uncle? What is it that's keeping you away from the greatest gift known to man? The one that can take that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The one that can clean you up and get you through that moment. Is it your pride? Who are you performing for? Who are you living for? Are you living for your friends? Because if you're living for them to look fly in front of them, then this is all you're getting. That's all you're getting. And those come and go. But he offered eternal life. Eternal life for everyone that believes in him. This is your time right now to examine your life. I had to. I was a Pharisee, y'all. I was a Pharisee, living by my rules, doing what I want to do, and didn't even know Jesus was his enemy the whole time and didn't even know it. If you feel like, yeah, I've been living my life as a Pharisee, just twisted, taking on this life, trying to earn my way to heaven by my works. And this whole time, I've been his enemy. The time is now. You don't have to wait tomorrow. The time is now. He's faithful and just to forgive. You stuck, you walking away. You could turn around. He's standing at your door and he's knocking. He's knocking. He longs for you. He longs for you to cleanse you, to make you new. Guess what? The words say, while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ what? While we didn't have it straight, for God so loved the world, he died for her, he died for them, he died for you, he died for me, he died for everybody on this earth. He has a love for us. You have the opportunity to come to him and receive that grace. Receive. Don't walk out on his mercy. Don't walk out on his love. Don't walk out on a chance to be forgiven, delivered, and set free.